can. I don't give a damn if it's 9 a.m. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake, that's what I'm in. My football team's got me drinking.
Back at it again. We are the Blue Testament, and
no,
this is...
No, we are the Two Testament.
Right, yeah, good. Because we're only at, actually, I'm going to call us full strength, because we're the two MVPs of the pod, are all we have tonight.
And we know that Thad and Bob won't listen, so they won't even hear that.
Yeah, we can say anything we want, we know they won't. So yes, it is just Cody and Allie tonight, but we're excited about it.
We are.
We're here for another episode of, we're here for another Shade of Blue, rather. And we'll make it quick for you. There's only two of us. There's not much time before the next game. It's Friday night. We got places to be.
This is like the retro night appetizer.
Right.
Treated as such.
I gotta get to First Fridays and meet some people and do some things.
And I just found out I don't have to coach tomorrow morning. So, which coaching, I coach for Sporting Stripes. For those who listen and don't know, I'm sure you guys...
And it's
familiar.
It's pretty adorable if you see it on Instagram, too.
Oh my gosh.
It's funny to see.
They are so cute. Some of them might be your kids. If so, tell them to say Coach Allie is their favorite. But no, they're so cute. However, I have to be at coaching on Saturday mornings earlier than I have to be at my full-time job during the week. So, like, for me, it's a huge switch.
And that's every single Saturday ever.
Most Saturdays, unless there's a sporting game or I don't know. I'm out of town or something, but
I know I honestly do that too, but like admittedly kind of out of choice. It's like, you know, I don't have to be at work till 9 or sometimes later here, but then sometimes the Premier League game is on at 6:30 that I need to watch on Saturday.
I know. It's like I'm somehow up earlier on my weekends than I am during my week.
I never thought I would like live my life like that. I thought I was going to sleep till 1 every Saturday.
No. And it's so funny now because it's like, I physically cannot sleep in. I went home for Easter to St. Louis at my parents' house, my childhood room. I mean, if there's one room where you just, like, should be able to zonk out and sleep. Nope, up at 8:30.
Okay, let's start off with the news today that pro referees admitted their mistake, thankfully.
Too little, too late.
I know.
This
has happened before that they admitted a mistake. I can't remember exactly what that was over, but when I heard it that time, I was like, screw you, that means nothing. I don't care. I hate you even more now. But for some reason when I like saw that today, I was like, all right, now I know I was justified at least.
Right. I think the one thing that makes it, and it's funny because like I think about Peter and it's like he'll still say, well, we shouldn't have given up three goals or whatever the difference would have been there. So, I mean,
he did in the locker room at least say all of that.
It should have been 4-0. So,
right.
I mean, I think what's so hard with those coming back, it's like it's not going to change the outcome. The score remains a tie.
We're still 2 points
Great.
Short.
Yeah. Thanks, pro referees. Not changing much, but.
I mean, I guess we can take that to mean they know it was wrong, and hopefully it won't happen again,
Hopefully they owe us down in the future when it might matter a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a hard time believing that. I don't know if Peter and the referees get along very well. Just in a couple of game instances this year, last
especially
season.
Especially Toledo.
Especially.
Baldomero? I don't know what it is. I forget.
Baldy.
Toledo, yeah. Okay,
but,
well, I can deal with that. What else should we talk about from that game? How about that it was a makeup, that honestly, that it was probably a makeup call for Gerso's soft PK.
Honestly, though, probably. And
it probably was. And that's what Matt Lawrence said on the broadcast, like, before Toledo called it. He was like, he's going to be wanting to make up for that.
Which, like, isn't it kind of crazy to think that, like, a referee who's hired and it's their job to call a game would be like, I have to make up for no, you're calling a professional MLS game. Like, if you make one bad call, don't try to justify it with another bad call.
Yeah, that's something that you know, no referee association will ever acknowledge that any referee ever does that. But, you know, like Matt, I think Matt was saying on that broadcast that it was like, he's a person, like, you know, as a person, it's going to be in your head that you did that at one point. So.
But it's like two mistakes is not better than one. Like what's that, you know, like an eye for an eye or two right or two wrongs don't make a right. Yeah. I mean, there's, we've lived our whole lives with these mantras and refereeing, all of that goes out the window.
And also, it wasn't. Not like there's an argument that it was a PK. I mean, he did get pulled. Yes, he went down very easy, but it's not. Yeah,
there's a reason that one that pro referees didn't come back and say that that was.
Yeah. So I can deal with that.
But I think other than that, though, like my biggest takeaway from the game, and we had talked about this just before we went on, but I mean, Christian Namath,
the man,
the number nine, and I went on with the New England Revolution broadcast crew. On their Facebook Live and live stream before the game. And, you know, they were asking, because obviously Christian Namath is a friend of the team. He's a friend of the New England Revolution. He played there for...
Not that his time there was all that happy.
No, no. It was not happy at all. But it was interesting because I was talking to one of the reporters, Jeff, and he was asking kind of what Namath's role has been with Sporting Kansas City. And I was like, oh, well, let me tell you, because Peter Vermees cannot be happier to have a player like Christian Namath. And just
he's the expensive designated player signing that everyone was waiting for.
Yeah.
Only he wasn't expensive or
designated player. Which it's like, that is the savvy businessman that Peter Vermees is. And I think people will come to appreciate when now having more of that money available. Mm-hmm. To help, obviously, bulk up other parts of the team that we are clearly going to need if some of these injuries persist throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah, so maybe we should probably talk about that. Not that he's ever known for being a guy to make a big splash in, you know, a mid-season window.
Although everyone every year
it's like,
thinks
yeah,
that it's going
need
to
it.
Happen.
We need it. Are we
going
to do it or not? I don't see... Even with like such a big need at the moment, mm-hmm. I don't see him making it a big splash unless there's, you know, like it was with Felipe, how it was something they'd been working on for a while,
right.
And then like, oh crap, he's available right now.
If he did though, what position do you think he would go for?
Where they need? I mean, I get like,
because basically everything but goalie.
I know. I mean, I want to say, I mean, it's like a center back or an outside back, a defender is like, I guess where you would go right now.
But
I guess outside back is what I would want personally.
Yeah.
I think a center back, we're going, you know, Beisler will be back eventually. Mm-hmm. Fontes will be back eventually.
Yeah.
You know, in the midfield, Rogers coming back eventually.
Right. I think what's so interesting though, is that, you know, at least with like the central midfield, bringing in Felipe, bringing in Elie, those were like immediate impact players. I feel like they haven't quite found that yet on the defense. No matter what moving parts, if Matt Beisler's not back there, it's not good. And I think that's something that, you know, Matt Beisler, as much as we like to think this guy is going to play forever and live forever, not even just play forever. He might live forever. I mean, at some point he's going to retire and it's not going to be in the next 10 years. It'll be more in the next five or less.
I do think Fontes made an immediate impact. Maybe he's leveled off since his first few games when we're like, oh, we're Barcelona now.
Right.
But
those are simpler times.
That was at least, you know, he was playing almost right away. I guess he was here half a year last year. But still, impact immediately this season.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, but I think outside back at the moment is where everyone's eyes go to.
Well,
it is weird seeing, like, you know, one of our favorite players, Zusi, is all of a sudden like perhaps like something of a liability, or I guess everyone on the back line
is. And what's crazy is, I mean, and that's going to be a huge shift when Zusi and Beisler and Sinovic go. It's almost like all three need to go at the same time because Zusi can't play without Beisler there. Sinovic can't play without Beisler. Like, they can't play without one another. So it's almost like when the defense changes, it can't be like this... one-at-a-time cycle. It needs to be a clean sweep.
They might all need Sinovic there, too, also. Like, if they all... Sinovic's another one. Then if those guys leave, like, he's done, too, also.
Yeah. So it's just... I don't know. The defense will be... It'll get interesting in the next season.
That really is a valid thing, at least, that I recognized all year last year. No part of me ever thought that Graham Zusi was, like, a really good defender. You know what I mean? It really was this, like, this magic cohesiveness among these guys that have played together for so long.
Yeah.
That, like, really is what was doing it. And now that's gone.
Right. And, yeah, like you just said, knowing where they're going to move and how they're going to run and what, you know, spaces they're going to occupy, not occupy, and being able to cover when they are missing one of those people.
Just one of them, yeah.
Just one. The entire ecosystem.
Well,
is
and that
thrown
same
off.
Could be said not just for the defense, but Peter Vermees's system in general, or like the machine that he tries to put out
right.
there, where every single person has to know every single moment where they're at, what they're doing.
Is it
one.
Is it fair to say that Peter Vermees's well-oiled machine is almost too intricately designed?
yeah, he thought. I mean, we thought we had all this depth, and then I think they did. But
yeah.
Still, I mean, if 11 players,
that's gonna
go down,
throw,
like,
any team.
Yeah, like, well, maybe not in the Premier League as much, but when we have these tiny rosters in this league, it's like, yeah, that's detrimental to what a team is
right.
trying to do.
And especially, too, when you consider that, you know, Johan Kwaze is really, like, one of the only players who can even play another, I mean, a couple other, but another position. Like, what?
Yeah.
How many other players on the field can transition like that? And that, you know, limits...
At least to, like, that extent.
Right.
I mean, Zusi, I guess, but I think he's cemented in defense now.
Because of the crossbar.
We saw... right, yeah. We saw Felipe move positions to stay. He was holding midfield to start that last game, but, you know, that's just a midfield switch.
Right.
It's not
a full,
yeah,
a full line.
Russell, I don't think Johnny Russell's what we would like to see in the midfield or anything.
Can you
like
imagine? That would be a shit show.
Yeah, he tries to dribble the team from the center spot.
He'd be like nutmegging a guy at the top of our box.
Right, yeah.
God,
that'd
love
be,
him.
That'd be kind of fun to see, actually.
And he'd probably pull it off. It is Johnny Russell.
At least once. Like, it wouldn't work 10 times, but he
and
would keep trying.
And speaking of Johnny Russell, and I'm sure everyone listening saw this, did you see the frog? Like,
yes.
Is he just like a... And then someone edited it. This
the
was...
Boosafrog.
I'm not kidding. That was, like, I laughed for probably, like,
oh,
15
yeah.
straight minutes. That was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, that was so good. I saw the picture before I saw, like, any of what was written or anything.
Yeah.
And I knew immediately. I was like, that frog has Busio's hair on it. Like, I know that's what that guy did.
Oh, my God. Whoever... If you were the one who edited that photo and you're listening...
I looked at his... At his profile, there was like 26 followers, so help this dude out.
Follow this man.
He deserves it.
Coming for all of our jobs.
That should be the new thing in this world, is adding a Busio fro to
everything.
Anyone and everything.
Oh my gosh, that's Sporting's new campaign. Or maybe that's the Blue Testament's new campaign.
Like, I wonder how good Vermees would look with one.
Oh.
Oh God.
Oh God.
That sounds like that's something you can't unsee.
I'm and it's like funny because I'm picturing him like angry on the sideline with like a fro. Like, you can't take
up.
Him serious. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, oh my God. The many faces of Peter Vermees plus Busio's fro. Just so good.
Okay. Well, I think we can move on from that. I mean, it was a fun game. I had a lot of fun watching it.
Anytime that there are 8 goals scored, you know, it's hard. I know that a lot of people who, you know, follow soccer might feel differently and, oh, I'd rather have a 0-0 game. And No.
No.
You don't
Come
mean
on,
that.
It's
Come
fun.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been nice if our defense could have put up a shutout there, yeah, freaking right.
The one where Abdul got, like, up to clear it, but just, like, kind of kicked his leg out.
Don't miss that.
Don't, no.
Or I won't miss that.
I won't, hopefully, as we, I guess this is a good time to move on to retro night. Sunday night at, what time's the game, like 8:30?
It's literally so late. It's not early.
I'm like, hi, this is a school night.
Oh, 8 p.m.
Okay, 8.
Which means 8:14.
Yeah.
8:12-ish.
So still late, but.
Yeah, we got stuff to do the next day. I can deal with that, though. We'll be all right. I'm not going to stick around very long after.
No, that's one where you hope the press conference goes by quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully everyone is happy at the end of this.
Yeah, but I mean,
exactly. Yeah, the but is the key word there. If we look at our lineup, actually, before we do that, let's look at Atlanta very briefly. 10th place. Sorry, 8th place. 10th place, Atlanta, 2-3-2. Everyone on their team is healthy, and if you look at their lineup, it's very scary. That everyone on the attacking, Pity Martinez, friggin' Joseph, everyone. Like, it's, that lineup is insane. But for some reason, it's not working.
They're having the MLS Cup hangover. Yeah. They're still hungover, and they can't quite figure it out yet, but... you read about as being a thing, and not even just in soccer, but across many sports.
The two wins they have are against the Revolution and the Colorado Rapids, which are the 12th place team in both divisions. So, and neither of those, it was a 2-1 over New England and 1-0 over Colorado.
Yeah. So has the magic run out?
I don't know, but I am scared of Pity. I'm scared of Tata. I'm scared of, they have like, or Tito. Tito.
Well, I think what's scary is that everyone's very aware of how, you know, the capabilities that Atlanta United has. And it's just a matter of when those kick back in, whenever they get out of this funk. Because if there's no injuries and they have a huge bulk of their returning team from last season, which won the 2018 MLS Cup, that's terrifying. And if that happens at Children's Mercy Park, Sporting Kansas City is without a dog in the fight.
So for those listening, if you haven't paid any attention to Atlanta since last season, Miguel Almiron left in a blockbuster deal. I believe it was the most expensive deal or transfer out of MLS ever. Goes to Newcastle, and he's been doing really well there, by the way. So you'd think, oh, losing the league's best player is going to really impact them. But they brought in Pity Martinez, who was player of the year in all of South America, I think is what the award was.
So
yikes.
Simply put, they're stacked. Their roster, they have a lot of talent. And, you know, this is a team, too. Last season, that Sporting Kansas City, there was quite a rivalry between the two. I mean, they were neck and neck a lot of the season. Not as much this season.
And Sporting was the first team to go there and beat them.
Right.
And that sparked a lot there. And, you know, of course, they were all very salty about it and had something to say about the refs, I think, and all that. So,
yeah.
That it did. There's some hostility there. But I think every club in MLS has some sort of hostility towards them.
Yeah.
Just because of, like, the way they're, you know, everyone knows what an Atlanta fan was like the last 2 years.
Right.
Can do and we're carrying the league.
I mean, you fill up an NFL stadium and all of a sudden you're...
I mean, yeah, it is a great... The way they opened up this club is really great.
Yeah.
I'm just interested to see what happens in a few years or if, you know, the pace that they're on keeps up in any way.
Right. Well, yeah, and that's the question, you know, to sustain that... You're having to dump a lot of money into these
big-time
players, and that's not necessarily, as we've seen with other teams, a sustainable business model throughout the entirety of their
time. The question was, like, if they're going to be able to keep doing that, but, you know, I guess...
Well, then you look at teams like LA Galaxy. You know, you bring in Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and they don't even... What did they do with that? They didn't even
make... Seventh.
Yeah. So...
Although, they are doing...
And I can't... That's not entirely fair because it was incredibly fun to watch Zlatan, and that 500th goal was, I mean.
In that first game that he was there and he did that side volley from like almost midfield.
And then just like seeing him in person.
It's like, I can't believe he's real.
No. He literally looks like, you know, someone who, you know, you picture almost those like scientific, like, I don't know, like capsules that they like cook like people in and like make them. And then it's like. like the steam is coming out.
Or like Terminator is like kind of what I thought of when you said that. Like he just like comes out like and he's just like a machine. It's like, oh my gosh.
And like only programmed to play soccer.
And it's like, and he's Swedish somehow and he talks like that. And it's like,
yeah, but it's like.
He's such a character. Like there will never be another Zlatan in world football / soccer, I don't think.
Like any sport. Like this guy could play basketball. Like he has a physique to play just about any sport and be good at it.
Is there an equivalent to Zlatan right now in any other sport?
No, because I think what's interesting is that it's really hard to take players from other sports. Like LeBron James, I'm sorry, would not be good at soccer.
Goalie is the only thing I
is
could,
the
like,
only
think of.
Thing.
Big dude, he could probably dive like to if, his right and left.
Like, if you're a large individual like Zlatan, and you're also agile and are good with your, have foot skills,
right.
I mean, that's, granted, we don't know if he can shoot a basketball to save his life, but I could see him being, like, a really good, like, cornerback or tight end in the NFL.
Yeah, if he could catch the ball, he could probably be a tight end. He's still
maybe a running
skinny,
back,
but...
yeah. I don't know.
No, but I'm trying to think of, like, a character in another league, another sports league, that has this, like, it's so rare to have a guy that talks shit the way he does and actually backs it up. Like, he really has done it everywhere he's gone.
Right. Because, like, in the NBA, you have countless players who talk shit. Few who even...
few who do it. Exactly.
No. Soccer is lucky to have him. MLS is lucky to have him.
MLS is very lucky to have him. Okay, so let's reluctantly dive into all these injuries here. If you go to thebluetestament.com, Thad gave a very nice injury update today. Breaks down who is actually out, who's not been practicing, and then... who is available.
Which, like, if you were to print this page out, it would be as long as a CVS receipt. Like, there are so many.
As long as a CVS receipt. That's good. I like that.
I'm going to definitely keep using that one for probably until we get players
Reddit,
back.
I'm a big Redditor. Reddit likes that joke, too. Likes making fun of CVS. Okay, so let's just start out. Players out this weekend, for sure. Beisler, Espinoza, Gerso, Hurtado, Lindsay, Madronda, and Rodney Wallace.
And
we're used
Busio.
To well, so yes. But those are out
the
for injuries.
Right.
And then yes, Busio and Freeman also left the team immediately following that last game. And then Busio went and scored on a volley to break the ice for the U-17.
This
there.
Kid.
Yeah, they were down 2-0, and then he did that. And then
love
they won,
scoring in big moments.
And then
Busio.
They won 3-0.
That's our Busio.
Or 3-2. Yeah, so well done to the kid there. That was nice. He did it with some swag. Like, I mean, it was like, of course he scored. Like, I saw that tweet, and before I even saw the video, I was like, of course he did.
And, like, just a real quick thing on Busio, just because it still kind of blows my mind. This time last year, Busio was just getting his first, like, USL starts with the Swope Park Rangers, where there are... and now he's just coming in, scoring big goals.
And now if you have followed anything soccer in America over the last month, then, like, you've definitely heard of Busio.
Yeah. He is, and, like, I know a lot of people think, oh, you know, like, Freddie Adu, what happened there? And it's going to be different.
Oh, we're
Busio's going to be different.
Yes. That's, man, when I think about, like, how different of a ball game it was, like, back then, where it was just, you know, it was like, how did we even know that he was that good? Like, where was he playing? You know, like,
right.
He was a 14-year-old when that became something. It was like, come on.
Yeah. Just.
Yeah, it's an entirely different situation now. But I think if he gets enough time and he starts playing frequently, I don't think it'll be long before somebody steals him.
Don't break my heart.
But hey, it's good for U.S. soccer.
It is. It is.
It should bring money here.
And the other thing, too, we know how Peter Vermees is with players like that. Yeah. Busio will find his way back someday.
Yeah, exactly.
He'll be back. He'll be like Christian Namath. He'll come back.
Hopefully, though, not like Christian Namath. Hopefully, when he is 30 or 31 and his career is, like, coming down.
Yeah.
And he's had a successful career for Manchester City.
Yeah.
And won the Premier League.
And yeah. And then we get to bring him home. God, that would be just
amazing
story.
That's, like, the pattern that all these, you know, if you're from South America, that's, like, what all the South Americans do. They get discovered by somebody when they're, like, 13 or 14, move away to Europe, and then they go and finish their career at, like, their boyhood club.
Just, it's beautiful.
Okay, so, and then we also got to talk about Andre Fontas and Ilie are both not practicing this week. Vermees referred to them as out. Whether that's gamesmanship, we don't know.
And that, I mean...
But they probably can't count on them.
And, like, when you look at those first seven names, Like, obviously, Gerso, Espinoza, Beisler, those are all, like, those all are, you know, they hurt to see and to hear. But then you add Fontas and Ilie on top of that.
Ilie is the one that just pierces through me. Yes, losing Roger sucked, but, you know, it was like, he's, like, getting older. I was, like, prepared this season to kind of deal without him for a few games. Matt Beisler, that sucks. How does our captain get hurt? He doesn't get hurt. Gerso, oh no, we're going to lose the speed. But Ilie is the guy that, like, when I think of this team without him, it, like, actually scares me.
Correct me if I'm wrong, he didn't miss a game last season. So, I mean, we're used to seeing Gerso, you know, kind of go through that rotation, switching in and out different wing forwards. Matt Beisler, we're not used to it, but I feel like now at this point, it can be expected that some of your older players might get some dings and banged up a little bit, hence Roger Espinoza and
Matt Beisler. Like, we've also seen Barath play well, and we've also seen Fontas play well. So it's like, you know, you can imagine Beisler being out.
But Ilie also, like, that position and that role, like, the so midfield looks very different when he's not in the game. And, you know,
as we saw in that first half.
Right.
Against New England, and they looked horrible.
He's a nucleus. He keeps everything is spinning on the axis that is Ilie Sanchez.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where like the attack starts a lot. And he's the one that like calms things down to gain possession and then launches it the other way.
Right.
And I liked that Felipe was there if Ilie wasn't going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But
the difference with those two is that Felipe holds on to the ball a bit more. And when you're in that defensive mid, you know, that holding mid position, you can't be holding on to the ball. Like,
holding means in that position.
Right. Yeah. It's completely different type of holding. And it almost reminds me of like what Vermees likes about Namath a little bit is like Namath is so able to quickly dish the ball off to the wings, which is what Ilie does to help move the ball and progress up the field. And if you hold on for too long for even a second, Felipe is really strong when he holds onto the ball and is able to dribble. But that's when Sporting's already at the top of the opposing team's box. They're already in striking distance.
Right, when he's looking to create something in the final third, yes. But, you know, if he gets the ball in the position of a holding midfielder, then that's when the other team is still trying to crash and make sure they get the ball back immediately.
Right.
And so he doesn't have that daylight to, yeah, do what I think made him comfortable.
Right. And hopefully Ilie is not injured, you know, long enough or questionable long enough to keep him out of his role. And, you know, if for God knows, you know, hopefully not, but hopefully Felipe would be able to kind of quickly figure that out, because that right there is like such a crucial part. And like you said, it changes the entire game. Like everyone saw it against New England.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I guess I didn't even really think of that. Like in my head, it's like, oh, well, we can't have Felipe do that every game. Like we can't do that. But yeah, I mean, that was his first game there in Jesus. Like we don't even know how long. It could be like a decade since he's.
Yeah.
So, you know, I suppose he could improve there. And we're talking about the lineup. So I guess, is he the choice? If Ilie, I mean, Vermees referred to Ilie as being out.
So I
guess Felipe is my choice again.
I would think so. And I mean, from what we know about Peter, he's going to want to put a player that he trusts in that position. And I think, you know, even if Felipe wasn't, you know, A+ at it last game, I think, you know, having some time to review film, talk to Peter, practice, all of that, you know, hopefully gets him in the right.
Well, yeah, and the other player that I could think of besides Felipe to play there would be Fontas,
who is also questionable. Yeah. So it's just like, I mean, Sporting is hurting right now. But, I mean, I guess going through, like, the rest of the midfield, if we have Felipe in that D mid,
we're going to have another game of Kellen Rowe, what this means.
Come on, Kellen. Let's see it.
Because we didn't against his old team. So he came out in that game like he was playing his old team and had something to prove. And then all of a sudden, I feel like I didn't see him for, like, like 30 minutes in the middle of the game.
Yeah. I mean,
he
I don't
had,
know.
He had one or two good moments. There was, actually, I think he, on the play that Gerso got the red card, or that,
on
the foul against Gerso for the red card, I believe he had a moment there that, like, turned that around. He, like, cut in front of a ball, and I think he might have sparked that play.
Yeah.
So he did, like, there were a couple moments there at the end where he popped up, and I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot he was on the field.
Right. Well, and I will say, with Kellen, I mean, again, this is someone who's coming to a new club after seven seasons with his former club. Not only is he coming to a new team, he's coming into a team that has been riddled with injuries.
Yes.
And that's a really, you know, kind of tough. It's hard to form those connections and that chemistry when players are constantly, you know, out or subbing. There's all these new pieces coming in. And I mean, hopefully once people start getting healthy, Kellen starts getting more comfortable, we'll see a little bit more. But I mean, again, big opportunity here for him to really make a difference when there are hardly any players in front of him.
Hardly any players available, period. It looks like there's literally just 14 field players that are on this roster and ready to go. So, and I'm looking at this list, and might we see Gideon Zalalem again in this midfield? You know, now, because now Busio is no longer an option in this midfield.
Yeah. Get Kuz back out there. I want to see Kuzain.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, again, we actually never mentioned, Zalalem was injured with no timetable to return, like a week ago or something.
Yeah.
And now he's one of the few that is not injured at the moment.
Right, or even questionable. So.
Yeah. So I guess we're looking at this midfield, holding midfield of Gutierrez, and then
Kellen Rowe.
And then Kellen, and then, like, literally, like, what do you do? Like literally, do you put in Zalalem at center attacking mid?
I mean, if
mid?
It's not Zalalem, it's...
you can't, because Kraze is going to be at left back again.
Right.
Unless he's, you know, unless he just puts... Actually, that's probably what he does. I bet he gives Seth the start at left back and puts Kraze at center attacking
mid. And then I bet at around 60 minutes... sub Seth out, moves Johan back, and then just depending on how the game's going.
With the lead
that the team hopefully has. And then, that would be the only situation I could see Zalalem getting in. Or even Kuzain, who knows. But I think it would be more likely if we saw.
Yeah, I mean, so we're talking here for like a 4-3-3 because it's Peter Vermees. But I mean, is that a possibility that he comes out with a different formation than
a 4-3-3. You know, if I
this is where we need Thad, by the way. We talked shit on Thad that he wasn't here, but he was at practice today. And
right,
we,
so
yeah,
he's
we need his
he's got the time. Eyes. I know. He literally just goes, can't make it. All right.
Yeah,
sounds good, T-Man.
When someone's a dad and they say can't make it, I'm like,
I'm
all
just
right,
like, I know. I'm assuming you have, like, if I can't make it, it's like, okay, you better be sick or like.
It's like I can't even. I don't even understand what it's like to live your life. So
right.
I don't even question.
I know.
It.
Like, if either of us say we can't make it, it's like, okay, where are you drinking right now?
Like
what are you doing?
Someone, you're doing something wrong that you shouldn't be. Like.
However, okay, if Peter did change the formation, what I could see happening would be two up top, like a 4-4-2. Four straight across, four and four in the back.
Well, so let's see. In the middle of that game, he took out Abdul.
Mm-hmm. Rightfully
so. And put in Hassler. So, and then whenever that happened, they said Matt Lawrence, you know, questioned of if it'll be something resembling like a three-man back line as they were, you know, trying to get that other goal and they were a man up. So I don't see that happening.
No.
A three-man back line, even with like, you know, calling them wing backs in front of them, like with Kraze or Zusi.
Right.
To make it a five-man-ish back line.
Right.
But I still don't, you know, I don't know if I see that happening.
Yeah, I don't see, unless they're down...
Yeah.
Moving from four defenders.
Yeah.
It's not Peter Vermees' preference.
So I think that's what I've landed on. I want to see Seth at left back and then So Kraze, so we have someone to play attacking mid.
Yeah. I mean, that's that is literally what has to happen.
Like, even I'm like, even all of the, like, how many Kraze haters there are out there, like, and they're not completely unjustified, but like, look at these available players. Like, who would you rather be playing our center attacking mid?
Well, and I mean, going back to Kraze's value too, this same thing happened last season when they went through that kind of injury stretch, late summer-ish, early fall, and Kraze was called upon again to kind of fill in different spots. I mean, it's really, when he's available and the team's dealing with injuries, it's really crucial because they are able to switch up, which also, you know, other teams scouting, that makes it even harder just because you don't know where he might end up.
So I haven't even, I didn't open up or look at our lineup prediction thing yet. Oh, I'm not even on the right one. We should see what all of our users are wanting to see.
And what Mr. and Mrs. Freeman and Mr. and Mrs. Shelley.
Right, yeah.
That's like my favorite thing.
Wait, I guess maybe we don't have that up yet. I don't see that as an option. Predictions.
Hmm.
I didn't see it, right?
I saw like a predictions, but I didn't.
Okay. Ben, if you're listening, get on that. Put that predictions thing up. Okay, and then, yeah, the forwards. Gerso now out after falling on the bar.
I mean,
man, that play.
That just,
God, there were so many plays. Like, how was the ball not across the line? But that one was just, I mean, like, the more I watched it, well done on Cody Cropper, the keeper for that save. Like, that was, I was like,
that was big time.
Like, Gerso got his foot on the ball.
Right.
But he just had two strong enough hands literally on the goal line to keep that out. Like, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And then there was another one. Ilya had a deflected shot that he had. He was like leaning the other way and then had to fall back and make a diving save to save that. He had a pretty decent game, I guess.
Even for letting in four goals. It was
even for letting in four goals.
So I think if they do 4-3-3, can we assume that it'll be Shallowy, Namath, and Russell?
Yeah, the
if Shallowy is
the BFFs available. On the wings.
It really is. And then you got our two Hungarians.
I'm ready to see two Hungarians and a Scot. I'm ready to see Shallowy be the savior of the season for Sporting KC.
He is one of my favorite players like to watch score, because I feel like every goal he scores is like beautiful. A lot of players, you know, like Gerso, it's like a lot of times it's like scrappy thing. I mean, Shallowy is like the one player where anytime he scores a goal, it's like,
Even when he has a tap in, he turns it into
and it's just, everything looks like, is elegant the right word? And then Johnny Russell's fun to watch just because he is full speed ahead up until the ball crosses the line. But yeah, Daniel Shallowy, we need some goals.
Yeah, so those three at the front, and that's kind of the thing is, you know, Gerso is out. All these injuries and all that, but I still have confidence that the attacking core can make things happen.
You know why you are confident, Cody? Because we have a number 9.
Because we have
and
a number 9.
And his name is Christian Namath. Yeah. And I just literally blew out all of your eardrums. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah, good. Good. That's how excited we
That's
are.
That's how excited we are.
Yes. Oh. It does feel good to have that number 9. Do we both give our full back lines? You don't want to see Abdul over Barath again, right?
No. I want to see Barath and...
Oh, wait, no. We're going to have to see both of them.
Well, unless...
Probably, unless Graham Smith gets
Okay, here's my back line.
Thad would be banging the Graham Smith drum right now.
Thad's not here to do it. I will. I want to see Graham Smith and Barath, and I want to see Zusi and Sinovic only because... Because I think Kraze can get there with that position, but he's just needed elsewhere at this time.
Right, so, okay. We're basing that on that Felipe has to play holding midfield.
Right.
And he does, right? I'm looking at these available players. Can Kellen Rowe do it?
I don't know if Peter would want a player who hasn't been in the system that long to play such a crucial position. And that's nothing against Colin. I mean, I would be kind of shocked if he put Colin there.
Yeah, I mean, if he... Yeah. I know that it obviously like didn't go that well, him trying Felipe back there. But right. I don't know that it was necessarily because of that.
No. Yeah. I mean, however, if Fontes is available, but then I don't, yeah, I mean, true. I don't know. Would he, like, would Barath be good in that position?
Ooh, holding. Oh, definitely. Fontes would be better.
Fontes, yeah.
Yeah. My, yeah.
There's
I'm going to go
there's
with...
so many variables. Like.
Okay, so say Fontes can play. Would you rather him play center back or play holding mid? Because then if
center
he doesn't,
back.
If he plays holding mid, then that means we have to see Graham Smith or
right.
Abdul.
I think, oh God. Yeah, I think.
So then, yeah, we're still at Felipe is going to have to play holding mid.
Yeah.
And if Felipe plays holding mid, then there's literally no one else besides Kellen Rowe or Krause to play attacking mid. And I think we would all rather have Krause forward.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think Krause would feel the same way. But this game, I'm not going to lie, it kind of scares me a little bit because, like yeah. we talked about, there is a little bit of, you know, there's some not bad blood, but there's some tension between Sporting and Atlanta. Just, you know, as
closely.
I want to
angry beat them. Like, I want to angry beat them, like, in
and,
a mean way.
Yeah,
I
and, like,
I
not just, like, with
why,
the fans, but I feel like definitely with the team as well. Like, you know, this is the team that, this is the MLS Cup reigning yeah. champs of 2018. There's one team you want to beat. They were neck and neck all season long.
Right.
However, if one player on the field goes down, there aren't a lot of options to kind of, and like there would have to be a lot of, you know, switching and moving around that it just scares me.
Man, there's no way.
Like
Gerso
just
player...
like literally went down and like boom, he's hurt and now he's out. Like it was that fast.
Well, then everyone needs to be praying to the soccer gods or whatever you do to
the
appease,
retro
to appease soccer gods. I don't even know how you like do that, but we need them to not lose. We can't lose one more player.
No.
I don't like literally anywhere on the field that happened, it would be catastrophic.
Exactly.
We would be like almost having to play with like go from the pool of players
because
MLS,
say like say it's a forward that goes down. Well, then you got to shift Krause up there and then someone has to go in. It's yeah. just like there's nowhere. Not goalie maybe.
Goalie,
but you would never want to
go.
See you would never want to see Melia go.
Yes,
out.
By the way, all three keepers are good.
Hey, Eric Dickin, Adrian Zendejas, can you play can you play holding mid?
Right,
can you play
yeah.
center back? Honestly, I could see like Eric Dick being like kind of a good center back. I don't know if he's quick enough, but
is he good with his feet? Is he good
I have
with
no
the ball
idea.
On his feet? I laughed out loud at him today watching the video that the team put out.
Were you the one that tweeted that from the Blue Jays? I actually read that. I was cracking out because it's just like...
Oh, my God. The camera, it shows him. It's like, oh, Eric Dick's waving at someone. And then the camera just slowly pans over. And it was an elephant who, by the way, wasn't even looking at him. Like he was waving an elephant that was facing the other way. Like,
and it's funny because like you know he was doing that like because there were like cameras. Like he was like just trying to like interact with like everything.
Yeah.
It's like, hey Eric, that's an elephant.
He was
if
like,
you
oh, there's
know.
A camera there. We're trying to make some good B-roll here. I'm just gonna like wave, make it look good. But then the camera guy just
and it's just like
panned right to
but,
where.
But like
he
also good for the camera guy because that's really funny for the people who would like think it's funny, aka you and me.
Yeah, that was a good video. Johnny was on one the whole time. I wish he
Are
would
we
do,
surprised?
We actually, I guess we talked about that in the podcast with Robo,
mm-hmm.
was how, you know, Johnny is that guy. Like, you see that all the time in all the videos they put out, and, like, we get to see that a lot. But he doesn't do interviews like that.
No.
he's so, like, straight-laced. And, I think in Europe, I still think a lot of these guys that come from those bigger leagues, they have this sense that we're trying to get them in some way. And so they try
yeah.
to, like, not... do that. They try to not show themselves.
Well, no, and it's funny because it is always the players who come from overseas who are especially like that, except the only one who's different is Shalawi, but I think, you know, he grew up here during those formative stages.
He's still just, like, young enough and baby enough that it was like, oh my
right.
god, people want to talk to me.
But, like, I've had Johan during an interview, like, he literally was like, oh, I'm nervous, my English isn't that good. You know, like, they're, and it, you know, they're just they're not used to it. It's a different, totally different thing. And we're like standing there with like microphones and phones in their face, like, how did you, like,
well, yeah,
we're so annoying.
Not only just that, in the locker room, when they're half naked, after they just got out of the shower.
I'm not going to lie. And, you know, and this has nothing to do with the fact that like, I'm a girl, whatever. I would feel this way. I feel strongly that I would feel this way if I were a guy.
I don't like
the reporters in the locker room thing.
Yeah, that it's at all. It's something I never thought of ever. It never crossed my mind how weird it is that people do that in
any sport. Any like I get that it's only open for a certain amount of time and yada yada. But like, these are players who like want to shower and hang out with their teammates
and
get ready and like go home with their families.
Like, how has it not happened at some other point that like someone was like, hey, look at what other leagues do overseas. we don't have to do this, guys. Like, right. Make them wait for us outside of the locker room and they have to stand there.
You know, maybe there's a way where, I don't know how this would work, but maybe it's like they select a certain group of players. Like, maybe they select 7 players and those players have to go in like the press conference room. And right. That's where things go down. And yeah. Then like each player is kind of, you know, shifting duties and things like that. But just to like let a bunch of reporters free reign, like walk into a locker room, it feels weird. Yeah. I mean, you've been covering the team longer than I have. This is my, I guess, second and a half covering the team. And I still feel like this is an invasion of privacy.
Yeah. Like I said, I had never thought of it ever until, you know, I don't remember what player it was, but it was like, you know, someone, it might have been Robo that we were talking to, was like, just mentioned it very like casually, like, oh, you know, he's not used to this, like people in the locker room. And I was like, oh, duh. I've never thought of this. Man,
right.
It really did blow my mind. And I haven't stopped thinking about that like since. It is weird that people do that.
I feel so bad, but yet there's nothing we can really. We can't change it.
Even the day I was in there and saw Roger Espinoza open his towel and wave his dick at somebody else in the locker room. Even then, I was just like, it's just what happens in the locker room. And I didn't think, oh, maybe we shouldn't be in here for that.
To, like, witness this stuff. I will say one of my favorite, like, or funniest locker room moments, though, was, because, like, Matt Beisler's a dad. Like, he's cool. Like, he's young. Like, he's cool. But, like, he's a dad. He's been the captain of this team for a long time. He just, like, has a bit more of, like, a mature...
He does.
Dad kind of vibe. And he, like, came out and, like, back into, like, where all the reporters were waiting. And he was singing, like, a very, like, pop, like, trendy recent song. But, like, imagine, like, if your dad, like, walked in the front door, like, singing, like, a song off of, like, a hit radio station. And, like, that's what it felt like.
Yeah. It is. I do like when you see, because he is, we see him so often as this, you know, straight-laced guy. And he's serious a lot. But I do love when you see, like, in these videos, like, Shallowy's vlog, we were just watching that. You do get to see him, like, he is goofy. Like, he's a real person.
Yeah, no,
he's not a robot like we accuse him of.
And I feel like, though, too, he gets thrown in a lot more of those, like, media situations where he's, like, having to talk to, like, the masses. Because, like, I've talked to him one-on-one, and it's totally different than, like, when he's talking to a group of reporters or, like, in a press conference where he's, like, sitting up at the table, but...
Okay, what else do we need to talk about here?
I mean, I guess we could do score predictions.
All the news from last game? Yeah, let's do bold predictions.
Okay.
How about... Oh, yeah, I already did one. A Shallowy... No less than a brace from Shallowy will happen.
Okay.
I called a hat trick earlier. I'm backing up on that a little bit. At least a brace. At least a brace from Daniel. And he proves himself to be the... savior of this team in our time of need.
The savior and the vlogger.
He steps up in a big moment like his idol, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
I see it happening.
Okay. That's a good one.
And also, he's going to be feeling good because didn't he score a brace? Or was it just the one goal against Atlanta last time?
Just the one goal because Ingerso got the other one.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful goal. So he's
It really was.
He's going to be ready to do that
again. That was the one where, like, wasn't that the one post-game where he was like, dad or something
like shut up dad or whatever. Yeah, whatever that was.
Which like only Daniel Shallowy can get away with that. My dad would be like, you're grounded. But okay, bold prediction.
Well, and a win. I predict a win.
Okay.
Win. Doesn't have to be the score. Just like, yeah, a bold prediction.
I'm gonna predict a win. The retro gods, the players of sporting past.
That might be bold enough sending, right there. Just like, picking a win.
We'll be sending positive rainbow energy vibes onto the field, whatever retro kind of stuff is going to be going on. Okay. I predict that Johan scores a goal.
I'm
picturing, like, who were they playing FC Dallas when he scored that one, the volley out of the air in, like, the final seconds to, like,
Open Cup.
Yeah. To, like, Dallas. I think they won 3-2. He's going to score that way or something.
He's got golazos in him just waiting.
He does. And he's long overdue.
He's overdue, exactly.
The only thing and this is, like, my other bold prediction, because these are two other players who I feel like have golazos within them, but don't always.
Zusi,
and even Sestanovic. I know it's like the whole playoff Seth. Yeah. He's got like a different thing. You know, maybe
he'll have a chip on his shoulder if he gets the start.
That's what I'm saying. If he gets the start, he's got to fight for his guy. He's got to fight for Matt Beisler. Yeah. His number one is off. I mean.
Oh, man. I like all of these.
Okay.
I hope
they all score. Sporting's going to score 7 goals. They're going to win 7-0.
I don't know why, but I feel like. Sometimes I feel like personally invested in Kraze. Like if he does good, it validates.
I think too, because like we've really like analyzed him almost more so than like any other player.
Literally,
since he came to the team, and I feel like we were always defending him. This podcast, Shades of Blue, we are defenders of Johan, and he's really evolved into this.
We're often
mythical.
I hope people don't. Accuse us of being relentlessly positive. I do feel like we do that a lot. We're fans. Like we love this team.
And
like,
I think the other thing too is like, although our predictions are always like positive, like we're most likely going to predict a win. But I would say that the way that we like break things down and like, you know, we're not like everything's great if they're like 0-10. Like we would never do that. So we're honest, but we're optimistic.
Yeah, and I do. Like you said, we often predict a win, but the way Vermees has this team assembled every year, I feel like this team on any given day can compete against any team in this league.
And it's so not it's like we're covering the Colorado Rapids where if you predict a win every game, it's like, well, like why are you even saying that? Like this is a team where you can predict a win and it's a 70-30, 60-40, 80-20%, you know, odds that they're going to win.
Yeah, and there's 14 healthy players. An entire lineup of 11 players is out.
Playing the reigning MLS Cup champs who have no injuries.
Yes, they're at full strength.
We're not crazy.
Okay, we just love the team, you
we
guys.
Do. And we also said we're just going to, you know, quick, short, easy podcast. We are almost at an hour.
We're coming up on an hour. Well, that's what happens. We had a beer, too. That probably
we did.
Helped.
That extends things. I have Cheez-Its.
It's just after 8. I still got time to go out to Crossroads tonight.
This is Cody's pregame for First Friday.
Pre-gaming on the pod.
Do, 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 do.
Okay. Well, we will be back next week. Hopefully, Bobbert and Thad can join us.
Yes.
Maybe we'll try a no midweek game next week, right?
Mm-mm.
Maybe we'll try another double pod week. A review pod and a preview pod later on in the week.
I will see. I have to prep for my...
Yeah,
I'll be covering another soccer team.
Aha, yes. Yes, tell
for
the people.
all of our loyal listeners out there who also love our Swope Park Rangers and the USL.
Yeah, there you go. And the USL.
As we all do. I will be sideline reporting in Austin, Texas for the Austin Bold game next Friday. So tune in. It'll be on ESPN+.
Which you all should already have.
Which you should already have. It's amazing. I love it.
And new update on that. If you don't have it, you can click a link on our website and help out your favorite bloggers from the Blue Testament. It gets us very few dollars if people use our links now.
Yes. So if you do, if you do get it, go through us because we would appreciate
it. I literally
it.
Think it's like, I think it's like a dollar.
Yeah.
I think you get like a dollar.
If you guys didn't know, each of us make $100,000 a year just doing this podcast.
Yes. We are about to switch. If anyone's annoyed with Blog Talk Radio or that we don't ever have it on your, however you listen to your podcasts, we are about to switch over to a more powerful SB Nation network.
Yes, we are.
We didn't even know it, but we're using like the old system here.
Yeah, we have we have no idea. We're just kind of going as we go. But
so yes, look for that.
Yeah, look for that.
I think we're gonna be able to like. I asked the guy. I think we're gonna be able to put the audio like straight onto Twitter. Like, so people can, like, listen to it on Twitter, stuff like that.
See, this is what we do for you guys. We're just trying to give you the best content quickly at your fingertips, all the soccer, all the sporting.
We've got things in the works.
We do.
We might even buy a board so we don't even have to come into the studio so we can do pods right after the game.
Yeah. Oh, copy.
We're thinking about it, guys. We're mulling.
We have a lot of ideas.
Things are in the works. So, we will talk to you next week. Go sporting.
Skipper has just been sent off. Support a strong evolve. Don't stop fight, but Fontaine's got me drinking. My foot Fontaine's got me drinking. My foot Fontaine's got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake this foot I'm in. My foot Fontaine's got me drinking. My foot Fontaine's got me drinking. My foot Fontaine's got me drinking.